This week, I'm going to talk about his glory. Now, I think for me, it's a real challenge, because how do you preach about that, this thing? And I found it quite challenging. And you can look up definitions of what God's glory is, and I've got one here, and it's just too much of a mouthful for me to even start trying to say. What I want to say to you in relation to Jesus' glory today for us is exactly what that song said. It says, let heaven come down to earth. And that is the nutshell. The things that happen in heaven happening on earth. And Jesus is described as God's glory. He's got his own glory, and we're going to look at that in a minute. So many areas, but that one thing, if you're just thinking about God's glory, is what God is, heaven breaking down on the earth in our lives and all around us. Heaven breaking in. The glory of God, when I think about it, I think, well, you know, God is incredible, amazing, just far beyond my words, God's glory. I sometimes associate it with light. You know, the Bible talks about God's unapproachable light. But I can't get my head around it, because it's so other. And God is amazing. He's so far higher and greater than we are. Not only is wisdom, but he is. But he teaches us that prayer that we just sung. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? Here on earth, as it is in heaven. And this is something to do with God's glory. Let me just talk about it. So, Jesus on earth. Let me read John 1. Talking about Jesus, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And actually, God's working also, this character involved, grace and truth in our lives. But okay, so we're happy with that. It's an incredible statement, but the Word, Jesus, who existed before he was born, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then I go into John chapter 2, and this is the first miracle. So John describes seven miracles, but this miracle is really quite interesting. Well, more than interesting, and you'll probably have heard of it, the water being turned to wine. So John chapter 2, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus answered. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six massive stone water jars. They were big, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." And then this is the description of what happens. An amazing miracle, which I don't know how many people saw it. Because it's quite interesting, because the master didn't know, but The only ones that really knew were the servants, interesting, because they poured the water in, and then they're the ones that pulled it out and said, oh, goodness me, what's happened here? What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And this sign revealed something about the glory of Jesus. His ability, his power over nature. And the result was people went, whoa, what happened there? You know, that's one reaction could have been. Heaven breaking through. Heaven broke down there, something. So I'm guessing there's wine in heaven. So some of the miracles, the water to wine, the healing of the nobleman's son who was nearly dead, the healing of a man at the pool of Bethesda, he was crippled and he was healed. They all revealed Jesus' his glory. Because this was Cana was the first of these signs. The walking on water revealed Jesus' glory. Something totally other than us. But it's incredible to understand his power over nature, his power to create the feeding of the 5,000, his power to just multiply this physical thing. And through this, he revealed his glory. And it's been talked about. And this Jesus is exactly the same today. It's the same today forever. The healing of the blind man, the raising of Lazarus to life. Life had gone and he raised him to life. In the authorized version of that, in John chapter, is it John chapter 11? In the King James version, it says he's been in the grave 4 days. By now he stinketh. Is what it said. So his body had started to decompose, which is what it... So that's one... I don't often use the King James Version, but I do like that verse in it. But Jesus revealed his glory. And he actually said in that passage, he said, if you believed, didn't you know that if you believed, you would see my glory? And he revealed his glory. Other situations, and when Jesus met Simon Peter, and they'd been fishing all night and he couldn't catch anything. And then Jesus had done some teaching, and then he said, pull out. And Simon says, no, we've done it, we know what we're doing. And he said, no, do that, just throw them in. And he had such a massive catch of fish. Jesus revealed his glory. And do you know what Simon Peter did? He was just so struck by what happened. He was impacted by the glory of God breaking through Jesus or in Jesus. He was so overwhelmed by it, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. The glory of God showed something totally different to what he was, and it massively impacted him. It's like, do you know, I'm not worthy, because it's just incredible. You have the same thing happening when Jesus was arrested at the Garden of Gethsemane, and when they came with a detachment of soldiers to get Jesus, Jesus said, "Well, I'm Jesus," and when Jesus said, "I am He," they drew back. And they fell to the ground, this army of soldiers, well, this detachment of soldiers. They were impacted by the glory of God. I want to... there's the transfiguration in Mark chapter 9. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. And there he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. This is something of heaven breaking through on that mountain there, that those three disciples had a chance to see something of it. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking to Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And this is really quite interesting. It says he didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. And something of the glory of God breaking through made him just sort of in fear, in awe, and so that he just garbled some. Anyone ever garbled something when you were in a sort of very flustered and didn't know what to say, and you just sort of said some absolute nonsense? Well, that's what Peter did, because he'd been impacted by heaven breaking through on the earth. And you'll see it in the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. I've seen that sometimes. When I remember praying for somebody at work, and he'd been knocked by a truck, and his leg was really, really, really hurting him. And he said to me, I can't remember the exact words, whether he said, "Can you pray for me, or do you do healing or anything?" I don't know what he said. And I said, "Well, no, I don't do healing, but I'll pray for you in the name of Jesus." And it was in a freezer warehouse at minus 20, minus 25, so I had about three pairs of gloves on, and we all wore sort of about three or four layers of clothing as well. So I put my gloved hand on his leg and said, "Please, would you take the pain away?" And I was a little bit embarrassed about it. And as I was walking away, there was a look of surprise on his face. And I said, "What?" And I thought he was surprised that I'd offered to pray for him, or that I'd put my hand on his leg. The look of surprise on his face was because the pain immediately disappeared. And I've sort of just been going through a list of times when I prayed for people, and you know, it's been amazing. Certainly not all the time, and I shared one about this miraculous thing 30-odd years ago. That's one thing, okay. That's Jesus breaking through. And it's heaven breaking through. The second thing is about heaven. So the future is bright. Okay, just want to say the future is bright for the Christian. The future is good. Okay, and in Colossians 1 verse 27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know, we've called to heaven. And we've got a hope put in our hearts. And in that hope, it talks about this city where there's no more sickness, where there's just healing, where there's peace, there's no more death. And in Revelation 21, it talks about, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Talking about Jesus, the Lamb who was slain. Christian is destined for that future hope. Or the disciple is, yeah, it's really good. And then Jesus, talking about Jesus and coming back, so I've just moved back a little bit here. This is Matthew 24. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The future, this glory that we see perhaps in glimpses at times here on earth, we will see fully. And when we see him, we will know him just as he knows us. And it's going to be wonderful. So all that healing and power and light and goodness, and that is our destiny. When Jesus was here on earth, he was bringing it left, right, and center, all over the place. But it is for us, and this is our challenge. And I want to be real, okay, because some of us feel said, you know, I've not seen the healings I want to see. I've not seen the things that I want to see. And so nobody said no to me, though I'm sure there would have been some people who said, actually, do you know, I can't think of anything, you know. But It's something that we've got to seek God about, because God wants his glory to be released amongst us in greater measure. We've heard some lovely things, wonderful things this morning, but greater things. Jesus says, the things that I've done, you're going to do in greater. And it's partly about administering and being channels for God's glory. And we've got to empty ourselves and say, God, I want you to move. But I just want to bring a couple of scriptures, and I believe that's many of your heart today, to see, I want you to move, God. I want to see heaven come down. It's heaven coming down here on earth. Let your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus prayed in John 17, he prayed for us about the glory. In John 17, verse 20, my prayer is not for them, the specific disciples at the time. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. He's given us the glory. In 2 Corinthians 3, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. This is why worship is actually really important, to contemplate, to actually take time to you can do it reading your Bible as well, and thinking about God's goodness, God's glory, but actually expressing it in your singing. And I really encourage you, it's part of what God has made us to do, is to sing his glory and his praises. And it helps us come into his presence. It helps us be able to look on his face. And so when we hold back, we don't get to see some of the stuff that God wants us to see. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And this is important to know. He said, wait for me, wait till I send the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, then you'll be my witnesses. But it gives us the Holy Spirit, and it enables, you know, this whole thing, he enables us to access God's glory and to minister his glory. And that glory is heaven come to earth. That definition won't sort of, satisfy everybody, but that's what I'm focusing on today. In 2 Corinthians 4, and I just want to say, we are all fallible, and yet God wants his glory to be displayed in our lives and through our lives. He wants heaven to be demonstrated and impact people's lives in our lives and through our lives. God isn't a God, this curtain torn down the middle, it's talking about there's an open channel. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. The gospel displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. He's opened our lives up to his glory, to heaven touching earth, and all that involves. And that does include healing, deliverance, miracles. It includes all these things that God has opened up. And when he says, pray in my name, and I want to give a little tip here. Don't rush in and assume that you know what God is going to do in a situation. Because God's miracles often come with real surprise. But take a moment to humble ourselves and say, what do you want to do here, Lord? Or, I want to see your glory in this situation. Would you release your glory? And we were talking about this on Tuesday when Peter, they were at the Gate Beautiful, and they saw this this beggar who couldn't walk at the gates of the temple, and he'd been there for years, and he was asking them for money. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And just say this laying on of hands, I don't know that, you know, it's you see it all the time, quite often that things are happened when through when we take a sort of faith step or whether we lay on hands, it seems God's way. In the Old Testament, people laid on hands to sort of transfer sin, but there's also laying on of hands to anoint. But taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped up to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And we see, and this is an important part of our mission, to preach the gospel, is signs and wonders that to follow. And I know if you're like me, you say, oh God, we want more. We want heaven coming to earth in this. And Lord, you want to use us in it. And we cannot manufacture it. These things that happen are miraculous. I think, you know, perhaps the biggest miracle that's, you know, healing miracle, I shared about this when my son Jonathan was born, and the lady there was losing her baby, and God miraculously, this is 31 years ago, miraculously healed her. And I just think about it, and I think God is sort of just revealing little different things to me, but he says, what I have, I give to you. What I have, I give to you. And we have to empty the rubbish out of our lives. That's definitely one thing that we need to do. Ask God to heal us. Ask God to fill us with his spirit. So to empty ourselves. The God main things that God said to me this morning, one is that heaven coming to earth is about the glory. The second thing is to empty ourselves. And the third thing is to wait before you pray. We say